So my Zayda, my father's father, had a joke that he would say. Most of the year it wasn't a joke, but sometimes it was a joke. After the meal on Shabbos, he would always say, make sure you get rid of all the krishkas, the crumbs, off the table because it's almost Pesach. But he would say it every week, even if it was after Pesach, a week after Pesach, then it's almost Pesach. Not so funny, but it sets the point. You had to know my grandparents, Reuben could vouch for this, that my grandparents were the most cleanest people, I think most neat and organized. They had a garbage in their house, and their main garbage was about this big, the entire garbage, and it lasted about 2-3 weeks. So now this big size of garbage. My grandmother lived through Auschwitz, so of course nothing got thrown out. You know, she would eat the peels and of everything. It was just, you live like that. It's a different generation that you can't even relate to, and I certainly can't relate to at all. But the concept of this chabura, is a little bit of a funny topic. It's a little bit of a weirder topic. When you bench, should those crumbs be on the table or not? In other words, you can have bread on the table, challah. It could be on Shabbos, it could be on the week. Usually you clean them off, and I have memories of my grandmother taking the twist tie and like combing the table to make sure every single crumb was off the table at some point. But is there any inyan to do that?
There's an inyan to have bread left, but some challah left on the table when you bench.
Okay. Some challah was his terminology. Keep that in mind. Something, now you change it to something. So here's my question. A big piece of challah? A krishkas, the crumbs? I don't even know if that's a real word. Can someone verify that krishkas is a real word in Yiddish? Anyone? Okay, that is. I know that's what they used to call it. I have no idea if that's made up Yiddish or not made up Yiddish. Or that was just if that was just my grandparents' word that they used. For it. She was from Siget. And he was from Poland. So Hungarian. Maybe it was a Hungarian word. I don't know. They call it krishkas. I have no idea if that's Yiddish or what that is. Hungarian. Okay. It was the little pieces of crumbs that are all over the table from the challah, especially if your children, you know exactly what I mean. They're all over the table, over the floor, everything. But so these little crumbs over here, does that suffice?
If there's no challah left, 100%.
It does. Okay. Says the Gemara. A one line. All we have to read is a one line Gemara of Sanhedrin, and you have to figure out what it means. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar. And why it's in Sanhedrin is because we're giving a lot of statements by Rabbi Elazar. So this has nothing to do with anything. Kol she'eino mishayer pas al shulchano. Anyone who doesn't leave over bread on his table, eino roe simen bracha l'olam. He will never see any blessings from his life and from his food, etc. Shneimar, and it quotes a pasuk, ein sarid l'achlo, is a pasuk I believe in Eov, ein sarid l'achlo al kein lo yachel tuvo. Fine. Why do you have to leave bread to get a simen bracha? No idea. We'll see in a second what the Rishonim say. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, says the Gemara. I've got one more line. Rabbi Elazar himself said the exact opposite statement. Kol ha-mishayir pisisim al shulchano. Anyone who leaves over pieces, pisisim, how would you translate pisisim? Krishkas, no? Pieces, crumbs, exactly. On your table, ki'ilu oved avodazara. It's as if you violated and served avodazara. Shenemar, ha'orchem is now is a pasuk in Yeshaya, ha'orchem le'god shulchan, va'mimalim le'meni mimaseich. God was the name of avodazara, and many was also a type of avodazara. So if you leave this food on the table for God, it's as if you're serving Avoda Zara. How are we going to answer up these two questions? Says the Gemara, two conflicting statements. You should leave bread on the table. You should not leave bread on the table. Says the Gemara, last words. That's the whole Chabura right here. This is all we're discussing. Just how do you read these words? Lo kasha, not a question. Ha de'ika shlema behadei. Ha de'leka shlema behadei. When there's a full bread with it, or when there's full bread, then what? Then it's mutar aser. I don't know. Ha deleka shlema bahadei. So one case is when there's a full bread, or a shlema, when there's full bread there, then it's a problem or it's not a problem. I don't know. Gemara doesn't say. Presumably the first statement was when there's a full one, no? That's what I would have thought. But when there's no full one there, then it's not a problem. Okay, I hope you're as confused as I am. I'll read you three little Rashis, and maybe we could try to make sense of this. So Rashi says, well, what's the issue of why you need to keep the bread there? What's the reason for the first statement? He says, "Ditzarich l'shayr k'dichsiv echol v'hoser." Rashi cites a pasuk in Malachim, by Elisha, I believe, which says you need to hold extra bread. So this way, I guess, either you'll have to give to someone else, or you'll save more for later on. That's why you'll have siman bracha. If you always save, it's a good idea. You'll always have food later on if you save a little bit of bread. Okay. Second Rashi is, Rashi says, well, what's the reason for why it's bad? Because he says this was what they used to do. Shekein osin. This is what they would do. Shemeinichan shulchan aruch b'maychol v'mishteh. They would have a set table of food. L'shem osavo dezara shekorin god. That they would set their table for God, or mamalim koso shamarkachim nesuchim avodazar sheshma many. And they would fill their cups for this guy many. Avodazar many. Okay. So far, I have no idea still what's going on. Says Rashi, what's the answer to the Gemara? So, ha deka amar aser. When is it aser? Deika shlema bahadei. When there's a full bread on the table. Rashi says, Shemevi shlema la'achar she'ochal. That after they eat, if you come and put back on the table a full piece of bread or a full loaf of bread, imapsisim, Sheshayer, with the leftover crumbs on the table, demichzi, it looks to l'shem avodazara avid hachi. It looks like you're doing it for avodazara. So clarify, according to Rashi, if you put the bread back on the table, now shlema, what is shlema? I don't know, the bag of challahs, no? Yeah. Well, you're about to buy a six-pack and you put, we use one, and you want to clean up, so your wife or you bring the... For the next day. But you bring it back to the table. You bring that pack of the remaining five or remaining four back to put it on the table for benching. It looks like you are serving God the Avodah Zarah.
I think the Buddhists do that.
So this is what the Gemara says. Maybe his God has something to do with that. I don't know.
So what if you have a big crowd and they finish the challah?
Yeah.
You have no challah left on the table.
So, that's why you have the crumbs there.
So once we're talking about by benching time. So presumably we're talking about when everyone's done with eating. So you're right, you're allowed to bring to the table to eat in the middle of the meal, that's fine. But now you're up to benching time. Correct.
Normally you do that after benching.
So this is our question. I don't know. For benching, it sounds like you're bringing the table. Sometimes when you're cleaning up, you don't think about it. You bring the container back to the table, and you take whatever's left of your big challah, the other half, and you're going to put it back in. But you're not so neurotic to put it in and get it off the table by benching. So you just bring it the container to the table when you're making a trip into the kitchen. Says the Gemara, you are Oved Avodah Zarah. The last Rashi we have to read, V'ha Deleka Shlema Bahadayu. If there's no big challah, then it's permitted to keep the krishkas on the table, these crumbs. Why? Or pieces on the table. Why? Demizumanim la'ani. Because those remaining pieces will give you a siman bracha. Why? Because they'll be used for a poor person. Now, I don't know. Does anyone here admit that they have poor people coming into their table and finishing up the rest of their... Okay, but that's not ani. The birds are not aniim. It doesn't say that. So you don't give it to your next door neighbor. No, your next door neighbor doesn't want the leftover crumbs on your table. No matter how poor he is, that's not what people are doing these days, at least in our society. So now you have this Gemara, which is pretty interesting Gemara, which says you now have to bring a whole loaf back to the table. When it's got krishkas on the table, you got crumbs on the table, you bring a whole loaf back to the table, it's avodah zarah.
If you don't bring it back, the whole time, then everybody agrees it's okay.
Bam! So Mr. Gutterman points out that Rashi had an interesting word over here. He said, Shemevi Shlema La'achar She'ochal. You bring the whole loaf after you finish. Comes along the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, and in his commentary he says, No. He says, the reason why. He learns the Gemara the same way, except for one key point, which you already nailed. That what does it mean you now would have a whole loaf on the table? Hold on to the yarmulke. So this one is going to scare you. Listen to this chumrah. You're not allowed to have a whole loaf on the table at all when you bench. Uh-oh. This happens much more frequently. Why? Because shlema, whatever shlema means. I don't know. Shlema could mean a chunk. I'm not sure. Why? Because the Gemara says that bracha doesn't go on pieces of things. Davar hamanoi, a countable object. Brachas are only hidden. Brachas are on things which are not noticeable and countable. So when you have loaves of bread, how many chalas are in the six-pack? You could tell. If you have the six-pack on the table, you could say, there's four left, there's five left, there's two left. It's very easily. You're not going to get bracha on that chala, whatever bracha means. But when you got crumbs on the table, you got 8,000 crumbs on your table. In my house, you know, hundreds of thousands of crumbs all over the table in this place and that place. And then there's no number for that. There's no, it's not countable. It's not a davar hamanoi. It's not a itemized a number that you can say. I mean, there is if you sit there and count every crumb, but it's not easily noticeable. And therefore, there will be bracha on that. So according to Mr. Gutterman, according to the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, you're not even allowed to keep an entire loaf of bread on the table, even if you don't bring it back. So if you bring that six-pack at the beginning because you want to be very sensitive to your guests, if anyone wants a chowrol, here's six chowrols you could take in the middle of the meal, and now you decide to bench an hour later, and you still have that same, now it's down, two people took you up on it, so now you got four left, whatever it is. Now you got four chowrols left on the table, little bokos. So then what is the halacha? According to Ramah, you're over at Avodah Zarah.
You have to take it off.
You have to take it off. You ever do that? I don't do that. What's pshat? No?
To be honest, in my family, as soon as that, like we make the hamotzi.
Yeah, but that's a calorie thing. It's a calorie thing. That's a calorie thing. In my house, my kids, my wife, usually what happens in my house is there's a big groan, and when I divide up the challah, because my wife usually takes the challah that I give and cuts in half for the kids because she doesn't want them to ruin their appetite on the cinnamons or sugar challah. She wants them to eat the meat and whatever afterwards. So my wife like cuts whatever I cut. She like usually slices into like a third or fourth to give to each kid first at the beginning. Then if they finish their meat and they finish their chicken and finish everything, then you could have another piece of challah. But yes, the challah doesn't get moved off the table, but it gets right in front of my wife. So you have to go through my wife to get a piece of challah, which my kids don't want to do. So don't worry. So that. It's protected. But that's the idea. So maybe, Shalom, that's the reason why they take off the chal, because you don't want it to fill up. But here it's saying that you have to remove those bulkalach off the table. Is this how we paskin? Okay. 1 second. I don't mean to scare you. 1 second. Says there is a whole simen in Shulchan Aruch, an entire simen called Dine Perure Hapas, the laws of the crumbs of chal. Four sifim. Five sifim, actually. I just take that back. Yeah. Sif one, says, Ein lahasir amap av alechem ad berchas hamazon. First, you should leave the bread on the table until after benching. Now, that's confusing because that seems to go against everything we just said. Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because you want the bread on the table so people should know what you're benching for. Okay. Two, halacha is, if you don't keep bread on your table, eino roa simin bracha la'olam. He quotes our Gemara. You won't see simin bracha. Aval, but lo yavi pas shlema v'yitnena ala shulchan. Don't bring bread, full bread, specifically on the table. Vim asakein, if you do this, michsi de l'shem avodas kochavim avid. It looks like you were doing avodah zara.
That's so, after you finished eating, you shouldn't bring the bread.
Exactly. So it comes out that the Shulchan Aruch is like Rashi. He's learning the way, he's not learning like the Ramah, which is this other opinion. And therefore he's saying, says Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to bring bread back to the table, but there would be no problem, seemingly, to keep a whole bread with crumbs, anything, on the table. There's no reason to... It also sounds like you shouldn't, by the way, clean up the crumbs before benching. Now, a lot of times in our house, we sometimes do that. So what's pshat? How do we paskin even further? Says the Mishnah Berurah, let me explain a little bit more. Mishnah Berurah says, why do you have to leave this bread on the table? The reason why you're supposed to leave this bread on the table is that an ani should come and take it. Now, keep in mind, according to this, says the Shaar HaTzion, it's not enough Let's back up. Sorry. Let me be clear for a second. Sorry. I want to clarify another point. Let's say you don't have guests at your table. And you finish your challah. You finish your half. You have one challah and you have a whole group of people. The challah is finished. It's now benching time. You have no big pieces of challah on your table. You just have the crumbs. Are you fine or are you not fine?
You're fine.
Why? You got your siman bracha?
Specifically because they said about what the avodah zarah. If you're bringing it out, then it's...
Did you get the siman bracha?
You have crumbs left over.
You have crumbs left over. Seems pretty basic. Fine. Stop wasting my time. Hold on to your hat for this one. Says the Shaar HaTzion, if the whole point of having crumbs is why? Is for v'simen bracha. Why do we say v'simen bracha would be? So you can, ani could take it, or that you should have a piece which is a chush of a piece that you could leave over. How do crumbs on the table satisfy that? Says the Shaar HaTzion, u'afizeh tov l'chadchila, you want to do it really correctly, sha'psisin lo ye ketanim ma'od. Those little crumbs are not the crumbs that we're talking about, they're little pieces. You would never give an ani the crumbs on your table. You would give an ani cut up pieces that have not been eaten. Instead of making it for French toast Sunday morning, right? What will you do? You take up your cut up pieces and give it to your next neighbor. You have extra bread, or an ani knocks on the door and needs some food. You know, from here, I've cut up slices. You wouldn't take him your little cup that you sweeped in all the crumbs for and say, here, I've got a cup of crumbs. So according to Shulchan Aruch, again, we're kind of like getting a little bit, you know, parsing our way through the halacha. It comes out, you should keep cut up pieces of bread on the table, or you should keep a full challah on the table for benching, so that you could, in theory, give it to an ani. But if you forget, and now it's benching time, you can't bring it back. So you're kind of like a catch-22. What do you do? It's benching time. You only have crumbs at the table. You can't bring back a whole challah. You should have left cut-up pieces. So you're not going to get siman bracha anymore, but you're not going to do avodah zarah. So Chacham Roas and Olad, you really have to plan ahead according to the Shulchan Aruch. Keep cut up pieces on your table the entire time, or keep a whole challah on the table the entire time, even if it takes up room, and this way you'll get the siman bracha.
If you ate it all up, then there's no, then you're not going to have any big pieces left over. If everybody ate it, you just have some crumbs.
Correct. And so you have to,
the purpose of the crumbs is a hakaras atov to Hashem, that he gave you food, and therefore he should continue to give you food.
So that's why you're right. You're supposed to keep the crumbs on the table. But you're not getting then the siman bracha. You want siman bracha. You don't want only so hakaras atov. Says Mishnah. But how could that be siman? If Mishnah Berurah says the siman bracha is giving to...
Accountable.
But siman bracha has to be that you could give it to an ani, because the bracha comes from your generosity. Hashem is going to bestow bracha on you, according to Mishnah Berurah, if you bestow on someone else. Says Mishnah Berurah, you have to have a piece you could give to an ani. Your crumbs, Dr. Levinson, you're a chashuv guy. I don't want your crumbs, though. I really don't. You can take it and throw it to the birds.
If you want to give to an ani, you should have an ani at your table to begin with.
Bar Shtetzik, I agree to that, yeah.
Right.
My grandmother in case, I know. But maybe you're saving, you definitely have you don't always eat every single piece of challah, you'll save it for tomorrow morning.
But we're being very literal here. You have to save the bread for the ani. Can't we interpret it as food.
I hear you. Lechem in general is usually the main food, the main staple. And remember, we're talking about generations where food, bread, they would only have bread. No one's giving out steak, you know, to Nani, and no one's even giving out, you know, Jolly Ranchers. All they had was, you know, they had bread. Okay, and so a couple of eggs maybe and bread, but that was it. Yeah.
No, so if that's the food you have, then okay. But I'm just saying it's like...
You're saying maybe...
It's like, well, if you only have crumbs at the table, then you can't give bread to the onion.
I'm with you. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But you're focusing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I mean, like... I mean, like, if you have a sandwich, for example...
Yeah.
Is this a kind of saying... Like, for lunch, you have a sandwich...
You save some leftovers? I hear you. If you don't have any more and you're hungry and you're eating it, it may be different, because there's no other bread around. I mean, you don't have to leave over food just to like save it. Eventually, meaning to save a little piece of your challah roll, yeah? to leave it on the table for benching and then to throw it out 5 seconds later, I don't think accomplishes the point. So yeah, if you have a whole, if you have a couple of pieces of rye bread and you're only having two of them now, and you bring the whole thing to the table, so yeah, you should probably leave, according to the Salacha, the other 4, 5, 6 pieces on the table for what you're going to have for tomorrow, you should probably leave that on the table during benching. But you're right, if you only have 2 pieces of rye bread completely, or a challah roll, yeah, one challah roll, then I think you could eat the whole thing, and then you're right, the crumbs will suffice for whatever this siman bracha is. Yeah.
Before you bench, you should, if you don't have the bread on the table, you should put a roll on the table.
So it sounds like no, because if you do that, then you're going to get avodah zarah. Because the last thing you should do is to bring a roll at the end. However, one second, yeah.
Yeah. Benching, you can't do it, but if it's, you didn't bench
before it's right by benching time, right by benching time, right by benching time. It wasn't clear, to be fair, it wasn't so clear, but after benching, you can do whatever you want, it sounds like. After benching, you do whatever you want. But right by benching time, it sounds like, right before you're about to bench, you shouldn't say, okay, dear, bring in the challahs on the table. Yeah. Okay, but that's Pesach. Pesach is a different story. Pesach can't ask Kash the Seder. Seder's all different stories. I hear you. Maybe that's why it's filled up earlier. Let me read you one more Mishnah Berurah, and then I'll end with the Halacha Lemaisa. Mishnah Berurah says 2 more points, which are important. Point number 1, he quotes a Prima Gadim, Du adin lo yishayir pisisin ala shulchano kishie shlema. He says, by the way, everything I said so far may not be so true either. He says, if you have pieces on the table, and you've got full pieces on the table, you got full chaurals and pieces, some say you shouldn't even keep the little pieces on the table when you bench, because the big one is enough. V'yesh mekil medavar, this gets into a little bit of Kabbalistic idea. So then he says, you know, it's not so clear exactly what to do. And I'll end with the last point, he says, or then I want to tell you that one more halakha l'maisa point. Or befrat b'shabbos, he says, specifically on Shabbos, he says, you could leave everything on the table. He says, whether it's crumbs, whether it's whole ones, shakol yodim shebishul kavod Shabbos humunach. So it sounds like on Shabbos, you could leave whatever you want on the table, but it still sounds like on Shabbos, you should not take the full bag that you had in the kitchen and bring it back on the table. So I think that's the upshot of the halakha. The only thing you should not do is right before benching, go take the 4 other challah bag that you have. You've used 2 of them at the meal. You've eaten most of it. Less crumbs are on the table. Take the bag with the other 4. Bring them onto the table right before benching that you planned on. I don't know why you would do that. Maybe it's some half a piece is left. You're going to put it back in the bag. Don't do that right before benching. Other than that, you are fine. I would just say, yeah.
If you leave your candlesticks on the table,
yeah,
then you're really supposed to leave challah on the table, or else your table is muksa.
Yeah, but you don't have to keep it with challah. You can keep someone else. You could do other. If you're richer, you put a diamond ring or a tray. You need to put something of chashav. One thing, you need to put something of chashav. Some people put challah. Yeah, you could also put something else. Some people put a watch. Some people put your kid's beautiful thing, which is so sentimental to you. Your kid's, you know, colorful of a diamond for Mother's Day. No, is the whole picture. Practically, a lot of people call it. I think that's fine because once it's there on the table when Shabbos starts, then it doesn't make a difference. It has to be there when Shabbos starts. When Shabbos starts, it's fine to have a challah. Once your meal is over, you can take it off because it's fine. Because it has to be there when Shabbos enters. I think so. Tell me if I'm wrong. You look at me like I'm crazy. I thought so. I think so. I think it has to be by banished mushrooms. It's fine. And then when Shabbos enters, that's up a dread. Don't quote me on that.
Muksa is only if you're going to move it.
No, but you want it, but the point is you don't want the whole table to become a bus of davar asur. We're getting off totally off topic. You want to do buses, I need more than 25 minutes. We want to get into all of buses. So some say the tray, but some say the tray is bottled to the candles because it's there every week. Some say you put your little kid's Mother's Day picture there, it's fine, because then it's a sentimental for you. You put some other thing, you have the Birchas Habayis there, maybe that counts. Some say you put a ring, sometimes puts the jewelry piece there, so this way it covers it. Now that we have a different thing in the back of our table, we don't have to worry about this. When we had the table, it was just to put sometimes a watch or a ring on it, and then your Yotze, the buses issue. We're getting off topic. I just want to end with a story, or some mice of a kelm, but one second, the Oz Nidbru just pointed out, nowadays, No ani is coming to your table to take your crumbs anyway. So he says this whole halacha may not even apply nowadays. There's no need to leave crumbs on the table. You could do what my bubby did and get off all the crumbs beforehand, because no ani is coming to your table in general. Definitely not taking your crumbs. So perhaps this whole halacha doesn't apply. The upshot is, if you have cut challah, you should leave it on the table till after benching. You shouldn't clear the table fully till after benching. You should not bring a full challah to the table right before benching. That is what I think the upshot is.
Yeah. Throw out the crumbs, or she used them in something else?
I have no idea. I'm sure she didn't throw them out. She may have eaten them, whatever those left up, or put them into things. She didn't throw anything out. But I guess you're right. I don't know. Maybe the little crumbs she would throw out, but I don't know. Yeah.
Space, yeah. After you finish the challah, you start filling up the table with, if you have guests and so on.
Correct.
Room for the
correct. Correct. So you have to
take it off.
Yes.
You bring it.
Yeah, so it's according to this, and it may not be the best thing to do. Unless people are eating it. If people are eating it, Mr. Shkobis, someone wants to chow in the middle of the meal, then you could bring it back for the middle of the meal. That's fine. I'll just highlight, I think it's very appropriate to give us chabur on Mother's Day. Because why? Because we're only neat because our wives want us to be neat. That's the whole pshat. But seriously, the altar of Kelm gave us a lot of mustard. Al Kelm, they were very makbid. They say over there in Kelm, the altar of Kelm once gave a mustard shmuz on Yom Kippur. The whole Musar Shmuz in Yom Kippur, his drasha was because in the coat room, someone's boots were not lined up properly. And Alter Kelm felt that it was inappropriate for a Ben Torah to just throw his boots, you know, in haphazardly. And they say that in Kelm, that someone once left an umbrella in Kelm's, I don't know if this is a practical, they used to say that if you left an umbrella in the coat room, it would still be in the exact same spot. 5 years later, you come back to get your umbrella because they were so makbid on order that they wouldn't move things. Everything was mesudar and neat. And really, the lesson is that they say over the Lubavitcher Rebbe, when with this musser, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, that tell the shluchim that you would go out to all of Montana and to Wyoming. They never saw a Jew in their entire life, that they should dress very nicely. You should dress b'chavadik, you shouldn't have spots in your clothes, because this is what the people's exposure is going to be to Judaism. You should look like a Ben Torah. You should look clean and neat. And this whole halacha of having crumbs on the table is not something to joke about, that my generation definitely is missing this as well. Correct. I'm just saying it was known that he was sending out shulchim to other people. He would tell them, they should make sure their hat is proper. I don't know if that's still true today, but Lamaisa, the idea is there that we should be conscious of how we look. We should be conscious of putting a good word for Yiddishkeit and to be clean. There's something very important to be clean, and I take this to heart to myself as much as for you as well. And with this idea, it sort of fits in with the concept of Mother's Day. The only reason why we do it is just so our wives don't get us in trouble as well, and that should be a zuchus as well. Shkayach, everyone.